You're listening to the New City Church podcast. These episodes are recorded live on Gadigal land. Sometimes the audio quality might not be perfect because what you're listening to is a conversation. We don't edit out the chatter, and we think that's what makes it authentic. Wherever you're tuning in from, we hope you find this episode encouraging.
Matt is going to come up. Come on up. Yeah, Matthew. As Matt comes up, a couple of things. We're in this series on how to read the Bible, and I hope by now you have to be really quite not with it to not work this out. We're a little bit facetious when we say it's the definitive guide, because the idea is, as we go through, I hope that you will see, and I know Matt's going to bring this out tonight, there is no perfect way to read the Bible. There is such complexity, and as we gather, we bring nuance. And so I want to honor the fact that in this room, there are people in this room who have no relationship with the Bible. And I want to honor that. And then there are people who crave it and love it. And we have everything in between. So I want to just keep bringing that to the forefront and say, wherever you're at, as we go into, you know, a talk on finding joy in the Bible, I hope that it's not complex for you. I hope that you can sit and appreciate it. Can I pray for you as you kick off? Can I put my hand on your shoulder?
Of course.
Thank you. God, thank you for the chance to be here tonight. Thank you for Matt's wisdom. Thank you for the way your spirit has been working in him to bring new ideas to life. We pray that tonight as we look at this idea of joy in reading the Bible, we pray for something refreshing. Open our hearts to newness, God. Amen.
So much.
Everyone, thanks to Joel for that introduction. My name is Matt, my pronouns are he, him, and I know this was said at the start, but I just want to reiterate that I'm super comfortable with you getting up and moving, going and getting coffee throughout this little talk. There are some difficult things I'll discuss, mainly related to myself, but if you feel any need to step out, please feel free to do so. And I guess I want to start with me being really transparent. So I prepared this sermon quite a while ago, like it was written probably a month ago. And I was really happy with it. It was constructed well. There was kind of some structural and systematic theology, and there was some application, there was some teaching. And as I was sitting with it on Friday and Saturday and praying over it and just letting what I had to say wash over me, some of it just didn't sit quite right. And so I prayerfully continued working through it. And what you've got now is actually a much shorter sermon, which means we can get to the pub quicker. So I guess there's that. It's also something that I hope you can still find meaning in, even though it's going to be kind of a brief talk. Today, I'm going to be talking about pretty much how my journey of being the Bibliest Bibler that ever Bibled throughout my life. But it's a bit more complex than that, so sit with me as we go through it. So Lord, I ask that you speak to us today, that you open our hearts, and that you let your Holy Spirit allow us to hear the words that would give us meaning, give us hope, give us joy. In your name, amen. So I think when we talk about the Bible, a lot of us grew up in churches where the main thing that was talked about was discipline. Reading the Bible as a discipline, as something you had to form a habit doing, and there was often fear around that. So if you don't read the Bible, not only is God unhappy with you, but you're also not loving God correctly, and you're not acting in your own interests or the interests of the community. And I think one of the challenges of that is that the way we were then taught to read the Bible was as either historical fact or abstract information. So we're taught, read this, read that, and you'll slowly envelop it, slowly understand, and then God will speak to you through it. But I think one of the biggest challenges of that is it actually undermines what the Bible is there to do. And I'll get into that in a moment. But even within just in Western countries, the barriers to just reading the Bible are enormous. You look at comprehension levels, you look at issues like dyslexia, you look at neurodiversity, and you look at that whole spectrum of things that can cause a barrier. And I think God speaks to us within that, and because of that, and through that. But I also think that some of the framing of the Bible as this thing that you have to get perfect and readers' information has been really unhelpful. So I'm going to talk today about my own journey through that. So when I was growing up, I was very devout. I was the good kid in youth group. I was always reading. I was always praying and all the worship songs. One of, you know, the only pieces of information which my brain retained was worship lyrics. But I had done all of that. I was the golden child. I was doing everything I could to read the Bible. And that continued until I was told to leave my church because I'd spoken up in favour of marriage equality and spoken in defence of several friends who were queer. So when that happened, there was a great sense of loss and grief. I'd felt like the Bible and the church had been ripped from my hands. And I want to talk about this because I think it's really important to acknowledge the pain when we're talking about joy and to acknowledge the difficulty. And this happened while I was at Bible college. And so there were kind of bits and pieces here and there where I had to go through pain and have the Bible undermined or taken away or losing its value for me to rediscover joy in it and the journey of that. So I'll talk very briefly on what I think the Bible is. So I think the Bible is the inspired and intentional word of God to us. So it's the revelation of God throughout history, throughout geography, completed in Jesus. So we don't worship the Bible. The Bible is not a member of the Trinity, but it is divine in that it is a revelation of God's power, God's love, God's grace, and God's generosity throughout time. And key to that, throughout all of it, is God in relationship. So the Bible being a revelation of God in relationship with us, through us, and in relationship with all people, not just one nation, not just one person, but all people. So while I was in Bible college, I went through another period where the Bible felt like it was hurting me. And I don't think that's quite the right term or phrase to use, but it was the experience that I had. So I was reading old papers, we're talking like the 1700s, like Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, which is this gut-wrenching thesis on God and his anger and depravity and all of that. And you had to sit through that and you had to write essays on it and work through it. And that really made me question, is the God of the Bible loving if this is one of the pieces that has informed evangelicalism for the last several hundred years? But the reality of God's work in the world around us is what encouraged me to keep going with my faith, keep going with my course and keep trying, because despite the anger that was spoken about, what I was seeing practiced through communities throughout the world in every country was love, and overwhelming love and intentional love and universal love. It was in communities, it was in relationship, and that is what the Bible continues to speak of. So we continue to see the humanity even in the grief and the suffering and the words spoken that are not loving. So I'll jump now to 2020. I was in Sydney. I was actually visiting Sydney. I was living in South Australia. And I went to the Archibald portrait competition. And I found it deeply moving. I'd never seen anything similar. And so some of the really beautiful ones that I saw was, there's an asylum seeker named Beruze, and his eyes had this ferocity in it. It was incredible. I still remember it now. There was a picture of Magda Zabanski in a burning room, and I still don't know what quite to make of it, but it evoked so many emotions. There was a bit rebellious side glance from an artist at the time. And then I had a favourite, which was this really strange self-portrait. But in the midst of the self-portrait, they'd kind of drawn the eyes as stick figure eyes with like stick figure hands. And it was just really interesting and created emotions in me which I hadn't really felt. I'd grown up like in quite a conservative church and hadn't been exposed to a lot of culture. And so you see those, and then you read the little plaques of the information, but the information don't tell you what you're looking at or what you're meant to feel. They tell you the process that the artist went through to reach the art that you're seeing before you. And I think it's really important to note that the process doesn't take away the beauty of the art. It's meant to lead you into a greater personal understanding of it. So in art, you're exposed to a world which is bigger than the one in which we inhabit, a world of imagination, where the way we see it, where our experiences, where our friendships all shape what we're seeing. And it testifies to that experience and the truth of our experiences and the truth of others' experiences, both the artist and the person that we're painting. And often when you feel those emotions, when you're seeing that, simple explanations are not sufficient. The only thing that can do what needs to be done to view art is imagination. It creates, and it creates emotionally, and it creates beautifully, and it creates perpetually new feelings with new colors, new feelings with new pieces of art. And so imagination is actually required in life. And I'm going to go into why I think imagination is required when reading the Bible. Walter Brueggemann and N.T. Wright write quite a lot on how the world in which we live, even when it's presented as complete reality, actually relies on imagination itself, because we're asked to pledge allegiance to things, to nations, we're asked to pledge allegiance to products and to brands. And all of this is constructed in a way that our imagination needs to be used to accept that what we're seeing is right and cannot change. But I think the beauty of the Bible is the theology of the Bible as an art gallery. And I mean this in two ways. So firstly, the Bible is a counter imagination to the production and profit world we live in. So Joel spoke the other week on liberation theology, and I think that's so important, because when you look at the Bible, when you look at the individual stories and then the stories together, there's this inherently true narrative of God being active in liberating us, from pain, but also broader liberation, and his preference for the poor and the marginalized and the suffering. God is described in a lot of books using active verbs. God is actively involved in showing love and showing meaning and being in relationship. We believe that God is speaking prophetically through the word. So God is perpetually leading us towards love, bringing life from death, bringing beauty from dust, bringing the slaves from captivity, and calling us towards participating in this with him and in relationship with him, participating in a renewal of all things. One of the phrases I really like in a modern worship song is, there was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the sea. I think that speaks so beautifully to how the Bible is a book of different genres, but there's so many stories of God amongst us, God within us, and God loving us. The Bible is a library of different genres, and it's a gallery. It's not just abstract stories, but humans encountering the God of the universe. Humanity, when it's feeling lost, when we're feeling depressed, or when we're thriving, encounters God, and encounters God repeatedly. So I'm speaking to this because I want us to be able to give ourselves time to read the Bible and experience it not as some abstract history, but as a truth of God's connection with us and relationship with us. Allow yourself to sit and read the words. Allow yourself to imagine yourself in the stories themselves. So when you can and when you feel ready to, sit and read Genesis and try and imagine the creation unfolding around you. That beauty, the greatest of the sunsets that you've witnessed, let that pour over you. Or imagine yourself watching Mary's song from Matthew and just the story there, the pain, but the joy. Imagine yourself seeing that and being immersed in the feelings she's feeling. You can sit with the Psalms and imagine yourself as a king with all the power and authority. Or you can imagine yourself suffering with David and others who wrote the Psalms. You'll feel powerful, you'll feel like a servant, you'll feel vulnerable. But through that, through the activeness of God's work, through the activeness of God's revelation through the Bible, you'll be able to see yourself, and I hope that that will bring you joy. Let the active, present, redeeming God reveal himself to you. So out of this, you can experience joy, that you can see both the meta story of the Bible, of God as active and redeeming, and out of the micro stories, you can experience a humanity and contemplate an empathy, or experience an empathy with all of humanity as it's expressed. So the Bible, in my experience, and in what has given me joy throughout the last few years, is an art gallery. It's a gallery worth visiting. The confounding and confusing stories which make no sense as abstract history are only abstract from the outside. If you allow yourself to step into the stories and see the people within them as your brothers and sisters, as someone you can resonate with, and see God as loving, God as connecting and relating to people, hopefully you will come and see that. You will see what's before us. You'll see the God who we worship, who we sing about, actually there. And then you'll feel that within your own lives. It's the journey from the deserts in Egypt as they build the pyramids to an empty grave to this community right here in Glebe. And wherever it extends to, with everyone online and everywhere else, God being in and through it all, always showing love, always seeking relationship in generosity and kindness. So may you go into this week with the knowledge of your belovedness, that you are deeply held, that you are deeply respected and deeply loved by God. May you go into it with a sense of joy, a sense of anticipation around your place in the history of humanity, your place as someone who has suffered, your place as someone who has thrived, and may you know that you have the power to see God and participate in the continual acts of renewal happening amongst us. Thanks.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. The lyrics from that song, they're so beautiful. There was another in the fire. Finish it for me.
Standing
next to me, there was another in the water holding back the sea. And as we go through, as we go through that art gallery of scripture, we see God at work, God in the midst, God here present. And I think, that's such a reminder for me that God is not absent from scripture. God is present in and amongst it. Thank you. I'm going to invite you all to take a few deep breaths, some moments just to be with yourself, to be present, reflect on anything that you need to reflect on, pause, and if it's a time of prayer for you, maybe a time of prayer. If it's a time of personal reflection, maybe that. Take some deep breaths and center yourself. God, we thank you that you are present. You are in our midst, and the Bible testifies to that. God, in our journey of wrestling with Bible, we want to find joy there. And so, God, in our midst, for those of us who are struggling to find joy there, we pray for renewal. And for those of us who are currently finding joy there, we pray for a contagious sense of your Spirit moving out from us. God, we thank you for your Bible in all of its complexity. We thank you for this community where we wrestle with it, we sit with it, we don't take easy answers, but we acknowledge the beauty of building theology together as community. So God, continue to bless our works as we center ourselves around Jesus. Amen. Here is a verse which for me brings joy. It's a sin passage. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by your yoke of slavery. The Bible is something for you that is a source of slavery. May that shift in this community for you. A little bit further down. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. As we go out into this week, that's my prayer for us as a community, that we would be people of those fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May that be what characterizes us as we move about the world.